Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 323 of the Distraction Pieces podcast. Thank you for tuning in, guys. If anyone's about to skip the intro, don't skip the intro because I've got a little contest I want to run. This week's guests are Amy and Harry, who are the hosts of the newest podcast on the Distraction Pieces network, Mum and Mama. And it's really good. Even if you're not a parent, it's really good. But it got me thinking about something that I've been doing recently. And I'm narrating a podcast, a space adventure podcast at the moment called North Star Rising. And it's been in the top five of the fiction chart on iTunes since its release. So that's amazing. It's going to be a six-part series. It comes out every Thursday. So we've had two parts out now, and the next part is out on the coming Thursday. But it occurred to me that a lot of parents and a lot of kids at home, they should be doing work, blah, 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 blah. This is the first podcast or anything I've done that's completely kid-friendly. Obviously, on Distraction Pieces, it often gets sweary or it can be adult topics. But this is, it's described as kind of Doctor Who level kid-friendly. So if you let your kids listen, if you would be comfortable with your kids watching Doctor Who, then they should be fine with this. And I said it's a space adventure. And I decided what would be cool, if anyone's up for it, is I'm going to run an ongoing contest. Because it's an audio drama, none of the characters have got a face or a body. They're all in your head. So what I was thinking, because obviously you don't want to be listening to a podcast while you're doing English or maths, but you can listen while you're doing art. So what I'm thinking is, if any of you need, you know, your art class or something to do in the art period of your homeschooling, pop North Star Rising on and get your kids to draw any of the characters. There's only two in the first episode, but they're both great. But as the story goes on, there's aliens, there's the ship itself, there's an AI unit. So if people want to submit their drawings, if you get your kids to draw either the ship or one of the characters, and write on there who it is, and maybe write their name and age, and if you post them online with the hashtag North Star Drawing, so like North Star Rising, but North Star Drawing, I'll go through them, and maybe each Thursday on release day of each episode, I'll pick a favourite one or two and share them on my socials. So yeah, that might be a fun thing to do with the kids in these times. So yeah, it's called North Star Rising. It's free. It's on Spotify and iTunes, all those places. So if you pop that on, they're 27-minute episodes. So that could be a good length for a little art class. You pop it on and get them to draw either the spaceship, which is called the North Star, or Tessa, or any of the guys. Grunk is one of the aliens that comes in. Yeah, there's Atten, who's a female adventurer, alien kind of wanderer. Yeah, there's loads of good people. Belto is a thief with... Has he got four arms? He's got four arms and two legs, I think. But yeah, there's loads of good people that you could draw. So let's all do that. It's called North Star Rising. And if you use the hashtag and tag me in it, if you use the hashtag North Star Drawing, then I'll pick a few and share them, and can share your kid's name and age and stuff like that. That's always adorable when it's like, drawn by Sarah, age 4 3/4, and all that kind of shit. Yeah, see, I've sworn on this, so this isn't kid-friendly. But yeah, there's just an idea. I'm going to get on with the podcast now. Again, not going to plug my web store or my Patreon. Instead, if you've got spare money in this time, donate it to one of either the many charities that are helping the NHS or any other services, or those in industries that have had stuff cancelled, like bands and musicians who are losing all their income because of tours, comedians. A lot of different people have got Patreons and stuff like that that need your support in this time more than I do. So head there. But yeah, this is Amy and Harry. Amy, you might have seen on my social media over the years because she's the mother of my goddaughter, and we do our fancy dress days out, and they're always film themed. So I'm sure I'll repost a few of them as this episode goes up. But yeah, that's Amy, and Harry is her mate. And yeah, they've got a great podcast called Mum and Mama that comes out on Sundays, and we're going to have a chat about everything, really. So here it is, episode 323 of the Distraction Pieces podcast with Amy and Harry of Mum and Mama. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. Right, I'm joined today by Harry and Amy of the Mum and Mama podcast. How are you doing, guys?
Hi.
Good.
Hi.
Yeah, we're
the
all
sun
really
is shining
good this morning.
Yeah.
Look at you. You because we're on Zoom, you're both already talking over each other, so that's fantastic. This is going to be a hell of a chat for the listeners.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, it's really difficult for Amy to shut up for 5 seconds.
As if. Whatever. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, good.
Or how are you both doing in these strange times? Let's start with Harry. Are you enjoying it all? Are you struggling? What's going on?
No, I mean, apart from like work is really, really busy, I'm actually really enjoying sort of taking a little bit of time out and cleaning up my house and doing some things that I probably wouldn't have done for about 6 years. So I'm quite enjoying some time. Not that I don't clean. I mean, I clean, but you know what I mean? It's like I cleaned up under my stairs yesterday and I didn't find one dead body. So that's always a plus.
My mum is finding it so hard to find things to do other than cleaning, because she hates cleaning. And normally, it's why, as Amy will know, my mum's always at like clubs and sometimes nightclubs, but at all sorts of different activities. And it's all purely because she hates cleaning and doesn't want to have to deal with the house. And now she's stuck at home. She's been doing Zoom family fortunes.
Oh,
Zoom,
my God.
Zoom, would I lie to you? She did a Zoom flower arranging course. She's got no flowers, no plans to... That's how much she doesn't want to clean.
Bless her.
So how's it all going for you, Amy?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's hard being a teacher and still working. I mean, my work has dropped off a bit because I work. One of my jobs is with a DJ agency, and obviously no DJs are getting booked at the moment. But I'm used to being at home, so it's not really that different for me, other than the fact that I've got the kids saying mum every 2.5 seconds, probably, I reckon. Yeah. So that is quite tricky. But then it's quite nice spending time with them that I wouldn't normally spend. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't really spend every waking moment with people that you haven't chosen to. It's all right. But we've got a garden and it's been nice weather. So that's made a big difference.
That's a big advantage.
Massive.
So how are you finding all the teaching thing? What lessons,
Amy is
what
not
subjects
teaching.
Are you finding best? Is Amy not doing any
Amy
teaching?
Amy is so not teaching. What a load of bollocks.
Amy trusted her children to be doing what they were supposed to be doing because they told me that they were doing it, and I think they're good kids, and then recently discovered that actually they haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing and have just been playing on their iPads. So I've got a knuckle down now this week.
What was your school like as a kid that the teachers just went, we trust you to be,
exactly.
I mean, it explains a lot, but you've been too trusting there, surely.
I thought that obviously they've got to do the stuff.
Yeah.
I think I put too much trust into people. I think that's my...
Into small children.
I think you're a weirdo.
I think that's my problem. But I just didn't think they had that much to do. And then I kept seeing everyone going on about them spending hours... And I'd be like, they've only got half an hour's worth of work. But they've, I think there's things that they've not been doing that they need to do. But it's hard because obviously they're both on completely different levels and they both want my attention at the same time.
Yeah.
So I've got to find a way to make it all work, really.
It is tough when you're, again, and we'll get onto this with the podcast, when you are parenting on your own and you've got to work as well, because both of you haven't just stopped working, you're working still, so it's finding that balance of again, as much as we joke about it, an element of it you're going to have put your trust in them, because you can't be sat there because you're working, you're going, you do your work, I'll do my work now. It turns out they're on their iPads or whatever and just messing about, but it's a tough one, right?
You've also got to prioritize a little bit as well, like, you know, I was finding in the last couple of weeks, like, I wasn't having a wash until 7 o'clock at night. So I was getting out of bed and then rolling down the stairs, giving my son breakfast, and then logging off on at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was going right through. And honestly, we were like, you know, we were like vagabonds for a good 2 to 3 weeks. We weren't washing until 7 o'clock at night. But that's prioritising some of the things that just really aren't that important, to be honest. Like, you're getting out in the sunshine and you're doing what you're doing. Idris is working, I'm working. But there's some things you just have to go, forget it. It's not really important.
Yeah. And again, it's completely true. It's easy to fall into them habits. I'm trying to be strict now because I had a week where I wasn't... I've taken a week off from doing any exercise, and because of that I was exactly the same. I wasn't bothering showering, I wasn't bothering getting dressed or whatever until way into the day, because previously I'd get up, exercise, and because I've got sweaty I need to go and have a shower. Because I wasn't doing that, I was falling out of that. And it might be important in these times to get those regular routines in, and kind of force yourself to pretend that it's not an unusual time or situation. I don't know.
But it takes time to, I guess, find out in your own household, especially when you've got a little child and you've got work and you've got everything else. It's difficult to find out what that balance is or what time is best. Or, you know, it's like I've found myself when I was sitting on the phone to work, you know, giving Idris a sweet to shut him up at 8 o'clock in the morning because I'm on a difficult call or something. Or when I've been having a meeting with somebody, he's asked for an ice cream. And obviously I've been like, oh my God, my child's never asked for an ice cream at 8 o'clock. Like, everybody's going to think that I'm the worst mother in the world. But I think that already. Yeah, exactly. I think it is about working out how your household works and what works for you.
And also, staying sane, because I was getting to the point where they were both asking me questions. I was trying to work and I thought, I'm just going to have a nervous breakdown. And obviously that's going to be the worst case scenario for everyone. Yeah. So if I can just think, right, I've got to do my work and then they can do whatever they want for an hour or two and then we'll get to them later. Yeah. And not beating yourself up about being the best teacher at home.
No. Yeah.
But that's hard.
I mean, there's no risk of that, Amy, from the sounds of it.
No.
If you're being the best.
No. I think we're all right there. I think we're all okay.
Yeah. So what kind of made you want to start a podcast? Because it's strange as well, because you were starting this podcast before the world turned completely upside down.
Yep.
It was all in the process. You pre-recorded a load of episodes and then all this happened. So just step away from pandemic talk for a minute. What was the motivation behind the podcast, Mum and Mama? It's called Mum and Mama, I should mention
that. It is called Mum and Mama.
Who's Mum?
Excellent name.
Who's Mum, Amy? Who's Mum?
How is Mum and I Mama?
There we go. We'd just like to clear that up before we start. Over to you, Amy.
Well, I wanted to do something positive about being a single parent because I think there's so much negativity surrounding the subject. And I remember when I first became separated from my partner, how scared I was and how it just felt so overwhelming. And actually, things have turned out better. You know, they've turned out well. I'm happy in my life. I'm happy with my situation. But I just thought there isn't really that much out there to tell people that it's not always the worst thing in the world. There can be light at the end of the tunnel. And a good friend of mine does a podcast, so I thought I've got quite a good platform, hopefully, to start maybe doing something.
Genuinely took me a few seconds to think that you were talking about me because you said good friend.
I was like,
and we're sounding quite nice. I was like, who does Amy know that does a podcast? I was like, oh,
she's talking about me. I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't just sit there and talk, believe it or not. And then me and Harry met about 18 months ago because our youngest children are both in the same class at school and got married quite early on. So we obviously had to meet being related to each other now. And we just hit it off straight away.
Yeah.
Harry has a theatrical background. Likes a chat. And she's very interesting, believe it or not. And she's had a lot of experiences in her life. So I thought she'd be a really great person. Plus, we both know loads of really interesting people. So I thought she'd be a really good person to do it with. So I got her drunk one night and asked her if she'd fancy starting a podcast. And then it obviously took us about 6 months to get our shit together and actually sit down and record something. And I wanted to have like a few things done before I sent them to you for your opinion, because I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm doing a podcast and, you know, help me out. I wanted you to like it and I wanted to know what you really thought about it. I didn't just want you to, you know.
Again, I think it's really good because, as you know, like on my podcast, in the first year or so, I did an episode with my mum and dad. And the reason for that was they separated when I was 16, and it was for the best.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's so much around single parenting or divorce or whatever else, or anything different from the norm. There's so much taboo around it, when in reality, as you touched upon, Harry, with the pandemic thing, everyone's family deals with things differently. Totally. And for my family, it was far better for them to be separate. And my parents get on great now. On Easter Sunday, I had to go and pick an egg up from my dad's doorstep to drop it off on my mum's doorstep, because they're still friends and we're still all in contact. But that's what excited me about this podcast is, you do talk about the struggles as well and what can be tough. It's not just it's fine. Leave your husband. He's rubbish. It'll be much better. It's here's the worries. Here's the struggles. But it's realistic. And what struck me when I listened, because I'll be completely honest, I was expecting it potentially to be a podcast on the network that I skim through each episode just to make sure there's nothing offensive, but I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not really going to listen every week because there's a lot of episodes on the network and I'm not a parent. But it's genuinely just humanly relatable. And I've said before, and again, this is all weird because me and Amy don't like saying nice things about each other, but some of the most inspirational people I've known, it's been when I've seen them bringing up their kids, and often in a single parent situation, because it really makes you realise what can be done on how much limited time and how much your life can change and it not be a bad thing, if you know what I mean. I think there's so many things that we're scared that if I move to a different town, my life will be so different, I won't be able to cope. Do you know what I mean? There's so many things that don't involve kids that could scare you, that you realise that, no, it's all adaptable and achievable. And I think Harry is a great choice as host, because you've got a different kind of situation as well. You're not strictly a single parent, you co-parent, but there's a gap. Explain what your kind of setup is as such.
I just want to ask one thing. Why have you got a pair of scissors in your hand? You talk about
he's cutting
you talk
his
about
toes.
Amy. Talk about
I was doing
Amy
this yesterday. I did a Zoom chat yesterday with a few mates and the parents of a mate of ours who passed away, and I kept accidentally picking up the pair of scissors in my hand just for making a point, because they're good for pointing.
Yeah, they really.
And then I realised that it's really disturbing. So, don't be threatened.
I won't.
We have to keep 2 metres apart, and they're only small scissors. So even if there was any threat, I've not got that. I do have long monkey arms, but they're not that long. So, it's
safe. We're all good. Well, so
go ahead.
Yes, no problem. I will. From my point of view, I think, look, every family is very unique in their own little way. I mean, you know, sometimes there's mum and there's another mum. Sometimes there's dad and there's another dad. Sometimes mum's, you know, in another house and dad's in another house. And things are very unconventional. We don't always have to stick to this, you know, mum, dad and 2.4 children and everything is, you know, swimmingly marvellous and, you know, it's all kind of a rosy picture. My situation is that I had a child with somebody and then we split up, and then I was a single parent and I moved back down to Wales because I lived in London. And then I moved back and we got back together, then we split up and then we got back together. It's like the age old thing of you just can't, it's just like the wrong time. But throughout all of the situations that we've ever had, we have co-parented our child in the most incredible way. I couldn't think of any. He's just an amazing father. he's very supportive and we're back together. But what's really nice is Idris gets to have time with me, time with his dad, time in different houses, and he gets to appreciate all the, you know, really good things that come along with it. And I'm not saying it was easy to adapt or easy to adjust to life, you know, with just me and Idris, because sometimes it can get, you know, a bit shit and it's a bit lonely and it's a bit, you know, it's like a bit mundane, but that's life. Whether you have a partner or you don't, whether you live with your partner or you don't, that's just life in general. You know, you've got to adapt to it. So I think for me and Amy, I mean, my position on the podcast is slightly different because, you know, I'm obviously the more interesting out of the two of us. I am the one that's, you know, got the most, I would say, eccentric character. I take the piss out of Amy quite a lot. And she takes it.
You see, that's already a jump to mine, because my favourite thing on the online dating episode was your constant mocking of Amy's extensive online dating experience. And it turns out you've had as much dating experience. It's just been with the same person repeatedly, breaking up and getting back together.
Yeah, so
whereas Amy's just, you know, spread about a bit, tried new people, you've just continually gone, I'm going to date him again.
Yeah,
I'm going to try dating that guy again.
I'm going to try date the same person. Exactly. Hopefully we'll get it right one day before we're 50.
So have you found that you've learnt stuff about each other already that you didn't know? Because I think that's the fascinating thing with podcasts, is it causes you to have conversations that you might not have had at the school gates or on a night out or at a parents' or wherever else. You might not have had those conversations. So have you found things out that have surprised you or anything else in the conversations so far?
Shall I say? Like,
you say,
honestly,
you say, honestly,
truthfully, Amy FaceTimes me at least 10 times a day.
I don't.
So, you know, we have touched on every single aspect of her life, every aspect, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No, I am joking, but yeah, I have, but not only, I wouldn't say just for the podcast, like, we all went away last year to a family holiday, and we hadn't known each other that long. And we decide, oh, Amy's got mail again, look, another dater. See, another dating app. You see that?
this is the kind of professionalism that you can expect on the Mum and Mama podcast, out every Sunday.
Not from me.
I swear to God, it's on silent.
We went on holiday with Amy's family, and I mean the whole of Amy's family, not just her children, but her mum, her dad, her sister, her other sister, and it was incredible because we hadn't known each other that long, and I think that you don't get a sense of Amy until you've met all her family, and there's this incredible. Hilarious moments. I mean, Amy's mum is, Babs, is just amazing. And Amy's really like her. But I don't know whether that holiday I learnt more about her, I'd say, than anything else. Definitely.
What, my mum or me?
Yeah, just like how they all interact together. They've just got their own little sort of, I don't know, it's really odd. Really odd kind of thing to, they're so close. Like, honestly,
yeah,
they are so close. They don't go to the toilet without each other.
Has that been a key part, Amy, on your parenting? Because obviously that is something you talk about in one of the first episodes, that you acknowledge that becoming a single parent has been a positive, but you also acknowledge that you're in a situation where you've got a really supportive family. You've got a lot of people around who have helped and can help.
I don't know if I would have made the move if I didn't have the support of my family and my friends, because I've always had that safety net of knowing my mum and dad are there, which I'm extremely grateful for. And my sisters, obviously, I've got two sisters. My eldest sister lives down in Brighton. She's got three daughters, but then my middle sister lives just around the corner from me, really, and we're very close, and she doesn't have her own kids, so I can completely pass mine over to her as much as I want because she can't say no. I don't think I would have done it if I didn't have the support of my family and the encouragement and reassurance from them as well. Because I do know no matter what happens, I'll be all right. And I don't think everyone has that. So I'm very, very grateful for that. Mm. And also there was never a case of them saying it was, I mean, obviously when we spoke about it, when we first split up, it was never supposed to be the end. It was just kind of trying to sort out an issue, but the issue didn't get resolved. And the longer time we spent apart from each other, the more I kind of realised that this was a more positive thing. Yeah. And they've just always supported me because I think they've known that I know what's right for me and the kids. Mm. And as you said, staying in a bad relationship is more detrimental to children than ending that. And, you know, but obviously when you first separate, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Mm. You don't know that things are going to be all right. You know, well, hopefully they're going to be all right. But yeah, it's
because you're from a family that's always been together. I'm not from a family that's like my mum and dad have stayed together. So I think for you, it's like a deeper knowledge because your mum and dad are, you know, they've been together a good many years. And I think you've got a very positive outlook on how family is supposed to be, regardless of what it looks like. And I think this thing about everything will be all right. Well, yeah, it might. You might hit some problems, but there are really nice sort of moments along that way. Definitely. I'm not from a family that stay together, probably like most people, you know.
Yeah.
Families break up. And you have got negative feelings when you grew up and you had to see your mum and dad go through really horrible times, and as a child it can be quite traumatizing, and you don't realize until you have your own family actually how difficult it is to make those decisions. They are definitely not ones that you would want to make in haste.
They're definitely not
ones you choose to actually do, you know, and say, yeah, that would be it. You give it a good go as long as you can do it. And then it just becomes really not possible. So, you know.
I felt guilty because I'd made the decision to have a family, but then all of a sudden I didn't want that anymore. But you feel a responsibility to your kids, and obviously I didn't want them to be without their dad. It's such a massive, heartbreaking decision. You know, it's not done.
Yeah.
It's really not done lightly. And I didn't want it either. Of course, I didn't want to separate. I didn't want to, you know, break up the family. That was never, I never imagined that would happen in a million years, especially because my parents have been together for, they got married after 3 months, my mum and dad. They've been married for over 50 years.
Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's, God. Yeah. And she wasn't, even though they did have my eldest sister 9 months after they got married.
She wasn't
pregnant when they got married because, and in those days you didn't know, did you? So they did actually just get married and then have a baby straight away. But yeah, but I didn't come from that background. So then to do that, even though it was, I mean, I was one of the very few kids in my class at school whose parents were still together. I've always had that through my life, you know. So yeah, it's definitely not an easy decision.
I think it's also important to realise that there doesn't have to be a bad guy.
No.
In a relationship that's not working. And again, I think that's a great example of Harry's relationship, the fact that it's stopped and come back. It can just be a timing thing. It doesn't. Yeah. And my parents are a great example of that. Again, I don't look back and think of either of them as the bad one that ruined the relationship.
No.
It's like, it just didn't work. And I think that's a really interesting thing because you do think of it like that. You do think there's going to be the one that ruined it, or do you know what I mean? The good guy and the bad guy, when that's not good for the kids. You know, the best thing for the family is that it's like, no, here's how families are different, I guess.
Yeah. But that's where I think parents maybe, and you know, I've got no criticism on anybody, but I think that's where parents fall down slightly, is where they criticise the other parent in front of their children. I mean, and it's just it's very uncomfortable, and I do think it really damages a child's perception of their other parent. It's going to after, if you hear it enough times, it's going to be damaging. You just can't help it. But you've got to be really mindful that if you have a separation and you have children involved, you just have to come together in some way, and that can take quite a lot of time, I'm telling you, to actually sit down and work out, because not only have you got to deal with the things that are in your house, you've got to deal with school, you've got to deal with nurseries, you've got to deal with hospitals, you've got to deal with dentists. It's like the whole, because you are the one that's the main caregiver. So you take responsibility for that main care. But it's, you know, like I always say, you know, I've got a 50-50 stake in my son. The other 50 is his father. And he should have rights, and he should have, you know, he should be able to say, no, I don't want that to happen. And I want you to respect that. And that's where we have really come together, I think. And we're, you know, it's about being kind and nice. And I know it sounds really cheesy, but, you know, when you're with a child, you do have to be very careful.
Well, they're the most important person. Like, you want them to have a good relationship with their, you know, father in this case. You want that, because that'd be awful if you think your dad's a bastard. You don't want that for your kids. So you have to put your feelings aside for whatever reason. You have to make sure that they have a positive outlook on their parent, and they can make their own mind up, you know, in the future about the relationship or whatever, but you have to do everything you can,
and that's the key part, everything you can, because it's also worth highlighting that's easier said than done.
Oh god,
at times if your partner has done something at that point or is being a shit or whatever else, it isn't easy to not let any of that seep through, to kind of self-censor yourself. So again, it's a balancing act. But speaking of self-censorship then, have you found any problems with that on the podcast so far? The reason I ask is we do the drunk cast every now and then, and it's so much harder when it's just you and your mates, because there's some stuff that, regardless of how open you want to be, there's some stuff you maybe don't want out there or to say in front of people. Yeah. I'll use the example of me and the drunk cast lads, is there's some stuff that we would joke about privately that we might not feel will come across with the correct tone publicly, if you know what I mean. And to be honest, as the drunk cast has gone on, all of that has come out because people have got to know us more.
Yeah.
But if we make a joke that people that know us will know isn't malicious, it's now sounding like we're secret racists, secret homophobes. That isn't what I'm saying. I'm digging myself a hole here. But
you really are.
The point I mean is that you two are friends who, as said, talk a lot. In Harry's opinion, talk too much. But in Amy's opinion, as long as there's an internet connection, you talk a fair bit. So the difference between those conversations that are just between two people and those conversations that are out there for the public, for other parents at your school to listen to, potentially, for teachers at your school to listen to. Do you have any concerns or issues? Have you had to notice any reining yourself in on anything?
I think that, I think probably a little bit like your drunk cast, that the more we do, the more that will come out and the more interesting topics we can highlight. And they're not all going to be about being a single parent, and they're not all going to be about, you know, Amy's rather large love life, or, you know, they're not going to be, some of them are not even going to be about anything. But I think that that's the beauty of a podcast, is that when you start to learn the relationships of your other, you know, the other person, so me and Amy, I'm going to learn things along the way about her, and she's going to learn things about me. There are still things, I think, that, you know, we could probably touch on, but I don't think it's appropriate right now, because we're just getting warmed up, and that's a good thing. So we'll take everybody on a journey, but we'll be on a journey as well, I think. And, you know, although Amy sits at home on dating apps all day, she's got quite an interesting story, and I've sort of travelled quite a lot, and I've done a lot of things. So I don't think anything will be off limits. We might just take our time to reveal things.
I'm not a person who likes to bad mouth people in public. I very much like seeing other people do it, but personally, I don't want to be that person. So I've never kind of spoken publicly about what happened in my relationship, and I have no intention to, because that will completely go against my trying to keep things positive for the kids, and like it's none of anyone else's business really. So I think I've got quite a good filter, like the way that I don't swear in front of my kids. I don't know what it is. I just don't swear in front of my kids. I think it's just something. If I could train my brain to not eat chocolate, like the way I've trained it to not swear and not say things that I shouldn't say. So fingers crossed, I won't say anything. And I don't think I've really felt like I've had the point where I've had to stop myself yet. But also, I don't drink anymore.
You know,
so that's quite good because we're not going to be doing any drunk casts.
Yeah, that's handy.
I think we should, but with Amy drinking water. How exciting would that be?
Harry can get drunk and Amy can eat loads of chocolate and just get a big sugar high.
And I can get shit-faced.
And be all hyper. Yeah, perfect. because one of the things I've really enjoyed is that you two are open to discuss and kind of to learn off each other, as stupid as that sounds. But I really enjoyed on the dating episode Harry's absolute shock at someone who was in who was on a dating app, who was in an open relationship and made that clear, and you were just stunned. But Amy was quite, well, it's important that open relationships exist. It's important to have that in your profile so people are in on it. So no one's kind of being tricked into, you're going on a date and then you've had three dates. They're like, oh, by the way, I'm married. You're like, what?
Yeah.
And things like that, I think they're all interesting because I think there's so much in society now that people are scared to question anything.
Yeah.
Because of cancel culture, but society, relationships, sexuality, gender are all developing so quickly that it's perfectly acceptable to have some questions or to think that that's unusual. So that open discussion, I think, is really positive. And one of you kind of going, I think that's a bit weird. And the other going, well, it's this. Here's why. It's perfectly acceptable to have those feelings rather than feeling, oh, I can't say that. I don't understand what that is or how that would work. Because as you've said, as with each family, there's different things that will work.
Yeah.
Within any relationship or within a human, there's different situations and setups that will work and match, I guess.
Yeah, and there's also things that you don't know about that exist, because not because you're sheltered or you don't switch on to it. It's just that it's just not on your radar to know some of these things that go on. Like I don't know some of the things that Amy does. You know, on the dating world, because I'm not dating like Amy is, but I'm sure if I was, I'd be swinging from the chandeliers, you know. But it's like, I guess that's the beauty of it, isn't it? That you get an insight into two very different worlds, but those worlds come together quite nicely, really, I think. Yeah. And that, because they explore things, you know.
Although questions. I do remember that there was one thing on the dating one that made me want to kick you guys off the network and cancel it altogether. Because Harry has nicknames for all of Amy's different dates. And one of them was the hairy one. And I instantly thought, there's going to be some listeners who think that's me. And then later on in the podcast, Amy says, oh, that didn't work because he's always busy and he travels a lot and he's work. I'm like, now everyone's going to think that's me, which is slanderous, to be quite frank.
It's not as hairy as you, love.
But yeah.
She should be
no
so
one
lucky,
is as hairy as you.
She should be so lucky. She should be so lucky.
So you talked about kind of the 50-50 stake in children. And obviously it isn't a 50-50 split as the main caregiver. But one of the things that you touched upon briefly, and I think we'll probably hear more about, is the difference of that time that you get on your own. You don't really get any time when the kids aren't there, because if you live with your partner, so even if it isn't all the time, there will be these periods where your child is with in your situations are with the dad. So how have you found that? Because I know, Amy, you took a while to kind of adapt to that, I guess.
I did.
There was a decent amount of time where you just didn't like that time, and then I remember the first time you started to go on a night out or go on a holiday, wherever else, you felt really guilty and didn't want to do it. And then it clicked and you were like, oh, this is fine. And it's important to be Amy as well as mum, if you know what I mean. And again, a new version of Amy because of what you've learned as mum. So yeah, how has that been in both your separate experiences?
Weirdly, being in Sainsbury's and I was talking to you via text and you saying something about being on holiday and you were like, but you'll go on holiday for like a week without them. And I honestly started having like a bit of an anxiety attack because I just thought, how can I be away from my kids for a week? Like, that's not going to happen. Like, it panicked me. But then, like, I mean, I got, that was 5 years ago now. But, and then like 2 years later, I was on a hen doing Ibiza for a week without my kids, having the time of my life. So the one thing that I really appreciate from my situation is the fact that I do get time to myself. And I don't think parents generally get that, do they? Because if you're in a house with your children and your partner, where are you going to go? So that is the one thing that I do really appreciate. But in the beginning, I couldn't remember what it was like to be on my own. And it felt wrong not being with my girls. Their father took them to Euro Disney. I think we'd been split up for about a year and he took them away. It was only like 4 or 5 days, but I had a bit of a breakdown in that time. I remember I cleaned my entire flat, like proper went in and cleaned it. But I remember feeling so down and I missed them so much. And I think my biggest thing was the fact that they were doing things and I didn't know what they were doing. They were having experiences that I wasn't a part of, and that it was heartbreaking, but I got over
and
that.
Kids, and kids can be awful at sharing those experiences. I've been there before where we've gone and picked the girls up from school and you're trying to find out what they did today. And it's literally, it's like,
nothing.
Stuff.
They don't even,
so
they don't, yeah,
if
they
there's,
don't even...
If,
but to be fair, mine don't shut up. So I don't have that
problem.
That's
a shocker.
It's nice now when I don't have them because I just have a bit of silence. But it did take a long time for me to kind of come back to myself. Like, it took me 2 years to think about getting a boyfriend again. Like, it did take a long time for me to kind of remember. But as soon as I did, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Because it's hard work being a parent. Yeah. Especially when you're on your own and you've got those children 24 hours a day. And mine were young as well. Juno was 18 months when we split. Yeah. So, you know, it was hard. But now I get to go out. I mean, it's only twice a month, but it's still twice a month. Or just have a night in on my own and watch what I want to watch without them moaning at me.
It is
not having
quite,
to cook dinner.
It is. It's like all the things that you have to do with your child. You don't have to do those things. Like, you don't have to eat the same shit as they eat. You don't have to clean. You don't have to bath them. You don't have to shout at them. You don't have to do anything. You just have to exist for yourself. And that's like a really, I think that's a really hard moment to really get hold of. And I think it takes quite a long time to be comfortable in your own home, doing your own thing, or even going out. I mean, I remember just getting shit-faced, like, constantly, like literally I'd become an 18-year-old again, where I was like, you know, like I'd go out at sort of 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and like by 1 o'clock I'd be being sick somewhere because I was just like in a panic of, oh my god, I've got to get home, or I've got to do something. You just behave very differently. But it's quite, I don't do that anymore. I try not to take it to the limit. It's quite nice to just like wake up. It's quite nice to have hobbies, you know. It's quite nice to do the things that you do. It's quite nice to clean out under the stairs, for instance. But it's quite nice to garden. Amy does a lot of gardening. I think the best thing about not having your children is the fact when not having your children, when the dads have them, is the fact that you can wake up when you want to wake up. Because seriously, being woken up at 5 o'clock every morning with a little face, although it's lovely, you know, in the first couple of days, oh my god, it takes its toll. Seriously, I mean, you do feel like, you know, punching people after a while. So I like a little lie in.
Yeah, that's very early, 5 o'clock.
Oh,
yeah, but, it's pretty intense.
When you become a mum as well, it's just so completely consuming that when you're not on mum mode, you just are like, well, what do I do now? Because I should be looking after someone else. And when you haven't got anyone to look after, you're just completely lost. And it takes a long time.
That's got to be a defence mechanism and adapting thing, because you have so little time to yourself that you have to get used to not... You don't have to remove all of that stuff from your brain. I remember the first time I realised that when I'd come round and visit you and the girls, I didn't particularly have to do anything exciting. It was purely distract them for long enough for you to have a shower or go to the toilet or anything like that. That you, particularly when you've got two that are both young, a few years apart, it is, as you say, it's all consuming. And and you, Amy, continue to co-sleep for a fair old time. So it is literally 24 hours. There might be a few hours where they've gone to bed and you're awake, but it's limited because they'll be getting up and going. Yeah, there'll be there'll be time when they're just getting up and pretending that they need to get a drink. I know when I babysat a while ago, Lola would get up for the most ridiculous of reasons, and I'd be like, "No, I'm a grown up. You know, I don't really think you need to come down to get your shoe for school in the morning." And it's like, literally, you can't. I'm not going to fall for this, but it must be so consuming in that way that being mum is probably always going to be your favourite thing and the best thing that you do. But it's realising that there's other things are important as well. It's why, like, it's been really good seeing you really get into your local gym, because it's something that you genuinely care about, and it's you. It's not mum. It's Amy in that period.
So Amy and Harry, definitely. But I think like some. And I mean, you know, I wouldn't like to speak about Amy specifically, but I do think that some parents don't make their lives any easier by not kind of... I know it's like... So I put my foot down with my son and co-sleeping and stuff like that, purely for the fact that if you don't, you are going to have a situation where you don't have a break from them. And you have to be quite tough sometimes, and it's not easy. Because you know what we do? We want to give ourselves an easy life. So, you know, if it's to shut somebody up for half an hour or if it's to get somebody off to bed, you'll do what you can. But
to be fair, I know that there was a period a few years back where Lola tried to put her foot down on co-sleeping, but Amy was not having it at all. Amy was very insistent.
Yeah. So there you go.
Lola got chucked out when I had Juno because we couldn't all...
No.
But there couldn't be four of us in a bed. And then so Warren went in with Lola and I had Juno. And then when Warren wasn't there anymore, Lola come back in. And then we were like that for, I don't know. But then Lola
just
left.
Recently.
And Juno slept with me until this all started, the lockdown started.
Yeah.
Because Lola has been teaching Juno how to be cool. And cool kids don't sleep with their mums, apparently.
Yeah.
Or kiss That's them true. Goodbye that at the school true. Gates.
Yeah.
But she's... But I think the reason why she has stopped sleeping with me now is because I'm with her all day. She doesn't need that extra reassurance at night.
She's fed up of you. She's absolutely
up
of you.
I'm a brilliant
She's
person
absolutely
to sleep
had enough. She's got to the end of her tether and she's thought, fuck that shit, I'm off, mate.
It's nothing to do with cool kids don't sleep with their mums. It's cool kids don't hang around with nerds.
Exactly.
They're like, we need to ditch that nerd that's here all the time. And then...
It has actually been quite hard. I do miss that. Even though it is nice not getting punched in the middle of the night, I do actually quite miss... It's made me feel a bit sad because also she's lost her two front teeth as well now. And when her big teeth come in, that's when they stop being little, isn't it? Because they start being that weird in-between age that Lola's at with their massive horse teeth. And she's my baby, and she's not going to be a baby anymore. So I'm going to get a dog.
Oh, my God. See, Amy's a lot softer than I am. I'm obviously, you know, my child is like the apple of my eye, but I'm not that sad at all that I think about my son's front two teeth falling out and him growing up.
You see,
not at all.
That's it. You see, it's funny listening to the podcast because every now and then I'll know some stuff, and I know that there was one where Harry was kind of saying, "So what age did you stop co-sleeping?
It's like, no.
This is just a setup. Either she knows or she's about to get a surprise. Like, haven't yet. I'm thinking about 12, 13.
I know. It's like crazy. Sometimes I think, oh, my God, those kids rule the roost. Like, they just rule the roost. But aww. I think that... Amy loves them to be the age that they are and obviously doesn't want to think about them growing up. Because I think it's hard when you're on your own to know that your children are going to grow up and they're gonna leave and they're going to have the life of their own. And
no, they're not. No, they're not. Like, I've made them sign documents. They're not.
Then it's like, where do you see yourself then? Because then you have to become an individual again, and then you have to become Amy and Harry, and then it's like, where do you fit in society? Because you're no longer, I mean, you'll always be a mum, but you're not going to be a mum like that. You're going to be somebody completely different, and you grow up and you have new life experiences. So I think we think ahead quite a lot, parents.
Yes,
mums
especially.
Yeah. We think about what might happen, and that empty nest syndrome definitely exists with women, I think.
I'm going to become Pip's mum because she has got a better social life than I had when I was 20. Honestly, she's my inspiration. Aww. So I'm going to go on holiday 3 times a year, go out to dinner. How many times does she go out to dinner a week? 4?
It's constant. But the thing, I always remember that I'd done a gig and I was back in my hotel room tucking myself in, and I had a quick look on Facebook, and my mum had just checked in at Funky Fish in Brighton. So not only is she out at clubs, she's checking in on her phone like a weirdo.
I love that.
It was literally like, what? That. It was literally, I was in bed by about 11:30, and she was just starting her night out with her mates in Brighton.
I love that. So I had a mum like that growing up. I was like always, and I was always a little bit embarrassed. Like, my mum was always the one, you know, like the cool mum, or she'd be the one out all the time, or she'd be the one like at festivals. And I can remember being really embarrassed, like, for fuck's sake, can't you just be a WI mum and bake cakes and do a bit of gardening? And she was like not having any of it. But now I'm obviously older. I really appreciate that she's got such an amazing life, and she's had an amazing life. It's like amazing. She's so different from any other mum I could ever think about. But she's wonderful.
I love it.
Yeah. Very, very eccentric, very, you know, funny. And everybody always says to me, oh, I love your mum. She's hilarious. Well, she wasn't hilarious when I was like 12. she was a fucking nightmare. She was a nightmare. And I thought I was somebody else. I think I thought I was sort of, you know, I don't know, I thought I was a princess, and clearly I wasn't.
Clearly I love it. Well, there's already been a lot of laughs and a lot of messing around, and as said, a lot of Harry mocking Amy for her life choices.
Yes.
Rightfully so. She needs to learn. But there's also been some really poignant stuff in there as well, and I think the pregnancy episode in particular had a lot from both of you, with the kind of journey that you had, Harry, to get there, to the kind of the amazing kind of story of Idris as a small baby kind of giving you a tip that you need to go and get your breast checked because he stopped feeding from one, and things like that. And Amy as well, the length of your labours and things like that. And it's weird because it's all stuff that, again, you'd think that if you're not a parent, it's going to be cringy or uncomfortable listening, but it is really inspirational. Yeah. So do you kind of know when you go in, oh, this is going to be a heavy episode, or this is going to be a light episode, or how do you kind of approach it?
So some of those topics, look, I think that we just don't talk about these things enough, or they're not out in the universe enough, because they sometimes don't mean anything to somebody else. However, the stories are inspirational because, you know, they do. So although we might not think, oh, that's just what we did, you know. We had the difficult pregnancy. Yeah, we have a difficult birth. And yes, we have difficult baby time. But does anybody else want to hear about it? And then all of a sudden you go, you know, you kind of talk to people. And I've had conversations with people and they said, oh, I really listened to that one about you being pregnant and Amy. Oh, it's really amazing. I was talking to my friend who's pregnant and, you know, I told her to listen to it. And you just think, oh, for fuck's sake, should have been doing this years ago.
Yeah.
Because there's not, when you, honestly, when you Google these things, and believe you me, when you're 8 months pregnant and something happens, the first thing you do is Google. The first thing, yep, you don't ask a doctor. You don't ask. You might ask your friend, but you turn to forums and stuff. And wouldn't it be amazing if there was all this information that you could get and it was accurate, and you know, and it was sensible, and then it would be there in front of you, but it's not. So, the thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we record this, today's episode with Colette Allen is a prime example of that, because the advice that she was given or that she could find went against what she did, and she wouldn't have the amazing child that she has now if she'd just gone with the advice that was available to her at the time. As soon as she had her child, she spoke to numerous people who had all these experiences that if she could have heard that at the time, it would have changed everything or given her even more confidence in the choices that she was making, rather than what might be the go-to, here's the basic information that's online, that there's a high risk of your child dying or all these other things.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important that those conversations are out there, right? So how was that kind of having your first guest on, and what made you kind of choose Colette as the person?
I know Colette from school, and we were like, every time I used to go out, she'd always be there. She's a right party animal, which is fantastic. She's got about 15 kids. But when we went to a festival together, and we were talking about her youngest son, Luke, who's got this disability, arthrogryposis.
Well done,
Amy. I loved it in the intro. The Amy nailed the pronunciation of the name, and then Harry mispronounced Amy's name and called her Emily or something like that. It's like, come on, that should be the easy one. But yeah,
we went to a festival together, and she literally told me this amazing story about how she was told at the scan that the baby wouldn't survive, or it wouldn't live past 2 hours. And he's just done a 5K, the kid. I mean, he's never without a smile, but all the, her advice that she was given and the amount that she went through and her determination to carry on with this pregnancy, even though she was told she shouldn't.
Yeah.
It was such an amazing story. And I really, when we started doing this podcast and we were thinking, you know, about what we could do, I thought, we've got to have Colette on because the world needs to hear it, because not only is it a beautiful, heartwarming story, but it's also an insight into having a kid with a disability and all the hurdles you have to cross and how sometimes actually it can be all right. Like, he's a really brilliant kid, and he's genuinely, he's a happy, contented, lovely little boy. And I think there is a lot of stigma when people think about having children, you know, disabled children, that you think it's going to be really bad and they're not going to have a happy, fulfilling life. But that's not always the case.
Or that's what, I'd kind of forgotten that, but that's what was even more important about this story, was it wasn't even a case of you're going to have this child and they'll be disabled. It was that they are disabled, and as you said, they will only live for around 2 hours.
Yeah.
So Colette's choice, against all odds, wasn't even necessarily to say, I'm going to have this child. And it was said, I'm going to give it those 2 hours. Yeah. Like, kind of, she seemed to have accepted, it's not going to, he, as we now know, but he's not going to live. But she felt, I would rather go through 9 months of discomfort and pain to allow those 2 hours. And then that turned out to be completely wrong. So,
I
think 90% of people in that situation would have gone, okay, well, let's terminate.
100% would have. I wouldn't have had a thought in my mind.
Completely understandably. So that's what makes it all the more inspirational and amazing, that it wasn't even I'm going to try and then we'll keep our fingers crossed. It was a complete acceptance in many ways.
Yeah.
And then it's turned out to be this amazing thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think you have
a miracle child as such.
You also have a real strong sense of motherhood, I think. And, you know, how protective you want to how you know, you're really protective over your child, even though you haven't given birth to it. It's like I can't even explain the feelings that you have when you first become pregnant or you first find out you're pregnant. I remember, and yesterday when I did clean out under the stairs, I was telling Amy, I found my pregnancy test and I've kept. And I honestly nearly started crying because I remember for 11 years feeling like a sense that I didn't belong in society because I couldn't have children. And then finding that pregnancy test yesterday was almost like the happiest day of my life again because I remember how it felt. It felt just, I honestly cannot describe. Every time I look at my child, I just go, wow, like that's amazing. I've got what I want. And why I wanted it so badly was because I love being a mum. I love being a mum. It's the greatest gift. It really is.
Did you know that? Because I had no idea how much I would love it. I mean, obviously, I wanted to have kids, but I honestly did not have a clue about how much I would actually love it.
Yeah, I did. I had a strong sense, a strong maternal instinct from quite a young age, definitely. Oh, God, I knew. But then when you see your child, I mean, Idris looked like a bird, bless him. He fit in my hands. And I remember thinking, oh, he's a little bit strange looking. And then he's grown, blossomed into this beautiful child. And it's funny because you look at them and you think, what parts of me are in them? What parts of their dad are in them? And, the grandmas and all the rest of it. What little kind of personalities they might have. But the one thing above everything is that protective mode that you continuously have.
Yeah.
And I think that is what shines through Colette's story the most, is that her family, it's not just about her as a mum, the whole family connect together to give everybody support. Because, you know, I was part of a family my brother had cystic fibrosis, and, you know, we spent a long time in hospital with him. And my mum cared for him 24 hours a day, more or less. And it's really not an easy life. It's a very, very hard life. And when my brother died, you never get over it. You never get over the loss of your brother. But also, I'm thankful that he isn't here because he would be in so much pain. So it is a really strange position to be in. But I remember us all, you know, trying to give Toby all that, you know, all the fun times, all the great times, all the amazing times, and all that support. And that's what Colette's family do best, is they rally round. And it's all, you know, every single picture that you see of Colette's little boy, he's smiling. So even though he's in plaster from his feet to his hips, he's got a beautiful smile on his face.
That's
the gem of being in that family, I think.
And that's testament incredible. To them.
Because he
must have just been surrounded by so many smiles and so much love that's what he was just projecting the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
I'm trying to think about what Juno and Lola have to put up with all the time. But, you know, bless them.
Well, as we're at the hour mark, I'll start to wrap things up. But one of the other things I wanted to flag was that you guys outside of the podcast are trying to make sure that on social media you're sharing a lot of links and a lot of options and stuff to help people on subjects related to the episode that week or whatever. It's mainly on Facebook, right? Because Facebook is pretty much just for mums and racists. That's kind of the two.
And old people.
They're the groups who are still on Facebook. Everyone else has fucked off. But yeah, is that an important part to kind of add that as a, here's the podcast and that's every week. But also we want to give you more than that and give you somewhere to contact us. And you've had feedback from people who have been really moved by particular episodes and stuff like that. How's the social media side of it been?
The reason why we're doing this is to help people that are in need of help. So social media is a really amazing way of getting in touch with people. So we have had like a couple of messages from people, from single parents that have listened and been encouraged or been made to feel better about their situation and have said that it's nice to know that they're not the only ones, which is exactly what we wanted to do. So that's been brilliant. But every week we kind of talk about something. So we then post more links to more like help or advice because
it's really important. It's really important.
It's really important.
Yeah, when you put a journey out there, when you talk about something that's not just left at that, that you can, you know, people can go back to it and they can dip in and they can go on your Facebook and they can make comments or, you know, follow up those links in their own time, because everybody processes things in a very different way. Like I'm quite a visual person. So if say I wanted a support group, or if say I wanted something to help me, it has to be in front of me for me to click on it, for instance. And it's just like,
yeah.
That's the kind of person that I am. But lots of people might, you know, sit down with a pen and paper and go through our podcast and take notes. I doubt it. But, you know, it's always good to get that or on there so that in the future, if people do go back to it, they can connect and link.
Yeah.
It's really important.
I love that. So what's the plan going forward? Obviously, we're in a weird pandemic situation now, so episodes are having to be recorded remotely and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what's the plan? Are you planning on having more guests? Have you got more topics in mind? Or what's the idea?
Shall I tell you what my idea is? So I'm going to sack Amy. Yeah.
Great. And good start. Like it. Keep talking.
And I'm going to join your podcast, basically.
Perfect.
That is the plan.
This is great.
How are we feeling about that? Because Amy just...
I like it.
No, I'm only joking. Amy, it'll always be me and you to the end of time, darling.
Oh, like Thelma and Louise. it has kind of thrown a bit of a spanner in the works. Because there are a lot of people that we know that we want to talk to. And obviously that's a bit hard at this time because we can't record them. Well, there are some people I think that might have recording devices, but I'm hoping that this won't go on for too much longer because I do actually want to see them as well. But next week we've got like a little catch up on what's been happening while we've been locked in.
Amazing.
And the week after that, we're going to talk about Harry's breast cancer, which is...
Right,
it's,
wow.
Funny, because you said earlier about there being like serious topics or whatever, but even when we talk about serious topics, we just take the piss out of each other. Like in the cancer episode, I proper was giggling at one point. Like I nearly wet myself. And yeah, I think that's why we probably work so well together, because we just don't really take things too seriously, do we? We're always kind of looking for the joke, I guess.
Yeah, but also I think when things have been over time and when you've had chance to heal, things become very different. Like the outlook of it becomes very different. So you are able to have a bit of a laugh and a joke about it. Look, nothing is further from distressing when you're in it. But after a time, I think that's fine. However you process things personally is up to you. Like that is kind of rule number one in my game. So I've had cancer and I do laugh about it because that's the way I get over it. Hello? That's just my journey. Everybody else is very different. And I definitely don't think that how I've handled it will be the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Mum and Mama is out every Sunday.
Yeah,
and it's on all iTunes, Acast, all those places. You do anything nice for the rest of the day? You've both not got the kids at the moment.
Mine's outside waiting.
Oh, is he?
Oh, really? You've got yours.
Wait, I'm going to go and sit back in the garden.
Yeah,
and sunbathe, because it might be like the last day of sun, mightn't it? So
yeah.
And obviously all the dating apps are closed down during the pandemic.
You've got to
keep yourself busy some other way.
I just want to say, if I wish I was successful as I'm being made out to be, but I'm really not.
They're all going to come forward, I think. They're all going to claim Amy. Claim Amy.
I don't want to be claimed.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Have a good one. See you later.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was episode 323. As said, go and grab Mum and Mama now. It's fantastic. Genuinely, even if you're not a parent, it's genuinely really enjoyable and relatable. So yeah, give them a look, give them support, give them follows on socials. They are on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. I'll tag all of those on the posts about this podcast. And yeah, give North Star Rising a listen and do a little art class with your kiddies. And I will share, if you upload them using the hashtag North Star Drawing, I will select some favourites and share them on my socials. I mean, there's a good chance I'll just get excited and share all of them. But send them my way. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in. I'll be back next week. I've no idea who with. These are weird times. We're flying by the seat of our pants. But there will be an episode next week. I don't know if it will be on me on my own, if it will be a guest. We shall see. Thank you for tuning in. See you in a bit.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.